y'all.
Hi.
And welcome to The Joe Project.
The Joe Project seeks to discover the intersectionality between mental health and the gospel. We want to debunk myths and stop over-spiritualizing mental health. Period. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. Listen, we are now on Instagram, and by now, I mean, we were always on Instagram. We are at The Job Project Podcast. That's a name change, at The Job Project Podcast. Go ahead and follow us there. You'll find out more information on other episodes this season, and some community stuff is coming up, I promise.
And also, if you like what we're doing and want to leave us a review, please feel free. I think Apple Podcasts is the only one. Shout out to iPhone users.
All right.
You can leave a review. You can give us 5-star rating. Because if you do so, our podcast is able to reach more people, which is the goal. We want people to know that mental health is okay, that it doesn't need to be stigmatized, nor does it need to be over-spiritualized. So again, leave a review. Leave 5 stars. Leave 6 stars if you can. And we would greatly, greatly appreciate that support.
Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you enjoyed this episode.
Woo!
Hi, everyone.
Hey!
All right.
I don't know what that was. Hi, y'all.
Hi, everyone. Hey, Val.
Hey, Chris.
How are you?
You know, I'm chilling. You had a great smoothie this morning.
It was delicious, man.
Oh, you know, I'll be trying.
Yeah, it was wonderful. I think, was there mango in it?
Oh, you already know.
Yo, pro tip, put mangoes in your smoothies. Your mental health will...
Well, thank you.
Val, what are we talking about today?
We are talking about therapy goals. Ooh!
Okay, so this podcast was my idea. And
it
actually,
was.
Actually, it came from a meme. I don't think I showed it to you, babe, but basically it was this picture... and I'll actually post it on our Instagram so that other people can see and laugh and enjoy it. But basically, the quote was, your reaction when you've met all of your, you've met all of your therapy goals. And then the quote itself said, well, I don't know what to do now because I didn't think this far. And I was like, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't think that far either.
You can get inspiration from anything, huh?
Heck yeah. That's why they pay me the big bucks. but I thought that this would be a great episode because, first off, I love that question of, all right, I met my therapy goals. What do I do now? But then I thought, well, how do we even set therapy goals? What is a goal to set in therapy? So I thought of this episode. Everyone, I was going to say drop thank you in the chat like we're on Twitch or on YouTube.
One day.
All right. So before we define like the actual goal setting process, what is therapy? Because in my head, I see a couch and I see a man listening to what I'm saying. So what's therapy?
Right. So we decided, you know what, let's just break it down. Because I think when we define therapy and we go into the different types of therapy, y'all, we're going really in depth. We are allowing people the opportunity to be like, okay, well, now I know what kind of goals I can set because now I know what type of setting therapy is supposed to be for me. So therapy, which also is known as psychotherapy or talk therapy. I stole this definition from the National Alliance on Mental Illness, or NAMI. So you're going to be hearing a lot of stuff from them because they just put it in such clear, succinct explanations.
Yes.
And I could never. When a person speaks with a trained therapist in a safe and confidential environment to explore and understand feelings and behaviors and gain coping skills.
I'm going to jump in.
Go ahead.
I have to, because we are mental health and the gospel. The reason why I feel like that's important, the word trained is in all caps, is because in the book of Proverbs, chapter 20, verse 18, it says, plans succeed through good counsel. Don't go to war without wise advice. So the trained therapist is able to give you wise advice because they've trained in the art of your brain. Ooh, that should be a t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
That's the end of my statement.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. And we're going to go into details as to why they are uniquely trained, but we'll wait for that. And then I wanted to highlight that therapy can be for an individual, it can be for a couple, can be for families, and it can be for groups.
Hmm.
So there's a lot of different types of therapies that people can access.
So the therapy that we've been seeing on Law & Order SVU, that's not the only kind of therapy.
No.
Whoa. So I think that's kind of a misconception. I feel like people only see one or maybe even two types of therapy, but not only are there different kinds of therapy, but there's also different, I think the technical term is modalities. I don't know what that means, but there's just different genres of therapy too. I know
that was correct.
Thanks. I know we're going to get there, and I know our audience believes that therapy is important, but just in case there's somebody new listening, why is therapy important?
I'm glad you asked. Bringing it back to NAMI again, they said that therapy specifically allows for someone to explore any past or current issues, thoughts, feelings, and experiences while the therapist provides insights and makes connections.
Okay, but I know that, so my best friend Damone, shout out to Damone, he can do that too. He's very smart.
Indeed. And you can talk to friends, family, or acquaintances, or people that you feel really, really close to about your issues, which a lot of people use that as an explanation as to why they may not go to therapy or may not need therapy. But we are here to educate. So, although you can, a licensed therapist is uniquely equipped to be objective / non-judgmental. Unfortunately, when we talk to friends, family, or people that we're close to, as objective or as logical that they may seem, there's always going to be some sort of inherent bias because, one, they're probably more apt to be on your side. Or if they know both of you, they're going to be on both your sides, but there's always going to be some sort of inherent bias that they may bring to the table that may skew their ability to help you look at it more objectively and handle it much better or healthier than you would have if you've gone to see a therapist.
Right.
You want to do the next one, babe?
Yeah, I think about if I tell my sister something, and no, I'll say this. We told my mom something several weeks ago, and then we found out that my aunt knew. And I was like, I didn't tell you to tell anybody, lady. So when you're talking to a therapist, that's not going to happen because of confidentiality. Mm-hmm. So when you're talking with a trained therapist, you also have less risk because with friends and family, they may not hold up your confidentiality. They might not be like, you know what? I'm not going to tell anyone because that's your wishes. They might be worried about you and with all good intentions, still spill the beans to someone. So there's less risk when you're talking to someone whose job it is to therapize.
Keep your business private.
Yep, there we go.
In layman's terms. Another thing is, what's the next thing, babe? I'm going to let you do it because I want to do the next one.
You're so selfish. all right. So the next one is that therapists have more boundaries. So when a therapist talks to, let's bring it to individual therapy. When a therapist talks to you, they're talking to you and they're talking about you and they're listening to you, right? Only you. Whereas other people in your life, they might expect, like reciprocity. They'll be like, all right, so I listened to how you were doing, so now listen to my problems.
Right.
Right? Whereas the therapist, every time I talk to Dan, he starts by saying, hey, how are you feeling? And I'm like, I'm good. And at the very beginning of our therapeutic relationship, I was like, how are you feeling? He was like, I'm fine. It's not about me. He said, I just want to remind you.
That sounds like Dan.
I just want to remind you that this time is for you. And that's exactly how he sounds in my head. So there's more boundaries. The focus and the focus, I said focus twice, but that's how focused we are. The focus is on you and only you. And you can go into that relationship just receiving. That's the word I was thinking
right
of.
And we know, like, I have really great friends who, if they know I'm going through something, are willing to sit with me in those conversations and help me sort through something I might be going through. Mm-hmm. And they may not expect reciprocity that time, but because we have a friendship and I'm equally invested as much as they are, which we're prayerfully hoping that all of you guys have friends that are equally invested in it as much as you are, I am going to also hold space for them as well. And that's a great thing, you know, to have people in your life that you're able to hold space for and who are able to hold space for you. It's very healthy. You know, a therapist isn't the only person that can provide support. However, a therapist is able to provide very specialized support. And it's a relationship where you are the center of attention the entire time. I don't know who don't like to talk about themselves. It's very rare that I meet somebody who's like, I don't want to talk about myself for 45 minutes at a time. Mm-hmm. And a therapeutic relationship allows you to have that space to just talk. And that person is only there to help you make connections, period. So I think that's really helpful as well. In addition to that, therapists are considered what I believe wise counsel. Granted, we know that there are some outliers who, you know, may struggle with their therapeutic position. We'll pray for them. But the thing with clinicians, all of them have very extensive training. So somebody who is a counselor or a licensed mental health counselor, LMC, or maybe a different acronym in different areas of the country, they have to go to school for 2 years, study all about the different types of counseling, things of that nature, and they have to do 1,000+ hours of supervised training. So it's not just that they're getting the academic stuff, but they're also getting field work experience under somebody who has done the work consistently for a good amount of time. And oftentimes people who do enter counseling programs are highly, strongly told, you probably should get a therapist as well. Mm-hmm. And I love that they also incorporate that. It's not mandatory, but it's highly recommended. And I hope it becomes mainstream to where it's weird not to have a therapist. Licensed clinical social workers who provide therapy also have 2 years of master study and training. Mm-hmm. People who are psychologists have 5 to 7 years of doctoral study.
Wait.
So they're doing research, they're doing clinical work, and they're also studying with counseling. And then a psychiatrist who provides counseling has to go to medical school and an additional 3+ years of residency to specialize. So these are people that have used money and resources and years of time to master this particular work strain in order to provide the best possible service.
Yeah.
That's why we highlight that a trained therapist is not like your friends or family. These people have invested so much in order to give you the support that you need.
Even your parents, I think about my mom, she's had 30 years of being my mother, right? And it just so happens that she did go to school for counseling, but before that, even though she was uniquely equipped to serve me as my mom, she was not uniquely equipped to serve me as a therapist because that wasn't the training that she got. So I think that kind of just goes to show that therapy itself, with all of this wealth of knowledge and with the boundaries and the focus on you, I think it makes it, when we have that understanding, it makes it easier to see therapy as a long-term relationship. Because I also think that sometimes we think that it should be 3 therapy sessions and we're fine. But I saw this other thing on Instagram and it said, it took you 30 years to get to this point in your life and you're expecting your therapy to fix it in 3 weekends. That's wild.
Wow.
Right? So therapy is also supposed to be a long-term and intentional process with someone who has intentionally took a long time to study how to best serve you. So now that we've defined what therapy is and why therapy is important, now we need to talk about actually setting goals in therapy. So picture it. I don't know why
Continue.
I'm so mad at you. imagine you just decided to go to therapy. You actually got a therapist, right? You're sitting down in therapy. You're not even in therapy yet. You are on your way to therapy. Oh, shoot. What am I about to talk about? Mm. You know what I mean? How do I actually set goals? Before we talk about the actual setting of goals, there's a reason why it's important. And this is not just important for therapy, but I'm bringing it to therapy. I'm going to read... This is Habakkuk. Habakkuk?
It's fine.
I will climb up...
Look it up, y'all.
I'll put it in the show notes because for some reason I didn't write down the scripture itself. I will climb up to my watchtower and stand at my guard post. There I will wait to see what the Lord says and how he will answer my complaint. Mm. Then the Lord said to me, write my answer plainly on tablets so that a runner can carry the correct message to others. This vision is for a future time. It describes the end and it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently. for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. Or the other way that people know this scripture really well is write the vision, make it plain.
Right.
Right. So I see three things here. I see one, there's a complaint. There's something that is wrong. There's something that needs to be fixed. There's something that needs to be changed or affected by the Holy Spirit, affected by the Lord, affected and be different. Right. Mm-hmm. And what does God say? God says, write my answer down. Right. So that the message can be carried to other people, because in a therapeutic relationship, the therapist is actually going to listen to what your goals are. They're not just going to set the goals for you. And I know this from experience, that Dan looked at me and said, all right, so what do you want to do? And I'm like, me, I didn't go to school, but it still is on me, because the focus is on me to at least give him an idea. Right. Because I'm not saying that he has no say in what we talk about, but I am saying that, like, he'll straight up look at me and be like, so do you want to talk about your anxiety with money today? And I'm like, nope, I would like to talk about depression because I have a goal for that day.
Right.
So I've told it to him and I've made it plain. And then I love verse 3 where it says, the vision is for a future time. It describes the end and it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently, for it surely will take place. It will not be delayed. So when I see this, I'm thinking, as the Christian going to therapy, when you're setting those therapy goals, you're also inviting the Lord into that process, because setting a therapy goal itself is an act of faith. So when you set that goal and you've prayed about it and you're like, all right, God, this is what I'm finna talk about. I'm not only gonna talk about just the things that I'm comfortable talking about in therapy. I'm actually going to challenge myself with what you believe is the best thing for me, Lord, and then I'm going to bring that to my therapist. Then you're describing the end and you're believing in faith that that thing is going to be fulfilled. So when you set those goals, you know what you're working towards and you're going to be focused on that thing with you and your therapist. And because of the Holy Spirit, you can really have faith that even though it might take a long time, even though it's a long-term process, that God will still be faithful to his word and those things will be fulfilled and they'll change.
I love how you said therapy goals is an act of faith, because it really is. And I think that's what's tricky with therapy. It's like, I'm working on mental and emotional issues, and it's hard to put concrete steps as to how you're going to overcome them.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes in therapy, just as a, you know, disclaimer, not a disclaimer, just as an explanation, like, some sessions aren't going to feel amazing when you come after. Like, sometimes you're going to be sharing a goal that you have and talking about it, and then as you continue to talk, your therapist reveals something even deeper there that's harder to navigate. This is why I truly, truly believe going to therapy is a step of faith, because now you're coming to terms with a lot of things that are challenging. And even though you have a therapist to support you, God is going to be the one to carry you through the emotional turmoil that you would inevitably go through when you start therapy. It's worth the process, guys. We are speaking from experience that therapy is super helpful. But again, I love that you pieced it back to scripture and made sure to emphasize that it is a faith goal that we desperately need the Lord to fulfill.
Right. So I think that one of the things that has helped me set therapy goals is actually hearing. I'm skipping around. I'm going to the next section and we're going to go back up. Okay.
Got it.
All right. sometimes people don't know what goals to set, and sometimes the Lord will part the skies and talk to them and let them know. And sometimes they're listening to a podcast called The Job Project, and they hear some ideas of what are some common therapy goals, and they're like, that's it, the Lord just spoke to me. So what are some ideas of some common therapy goals that some people have?
So one is changing behaviors. So oftentimes people may examine that they struggle with a certain behavioral pattern, and after a while they'll realize this is not serving me, or it's causing a lot of strain in a lot of different areas of my life, including managing my relationships, which is another therapy goal. We're going to just connect stuff together.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to highlight that therapists are trained to be able to help you see connections that you may not have been.
Right.
And also we want to highlight that there are different types of therapy that can also support that goal. We're going to highlight that a little bit later. But that's one or two of the top reasons that people often go to therapy for: managing behaviors or changing behaviors, and also navigating relationships, whether it's learning how to have relationships and to start relationships, or it may be, how do I maintain this relationship in the most healthy way possible? Another thing that people do therapy for is personal development. So even though life coaches, career coaches, and all of that can provide that sort of support, I think in a therapeutic relationship, they're helping you develop personally, but in a very different way. I think there's a lot more emotional and mental focus. I'm not sure life coaches, what they specifically do, because I'm not a life coach. I'm much more familiar with counseling and clinical models. But something that they highlight in personal development and that I've noticed in my own experience is we're trying to figure out who you are. What brings you joy? What skills do you have? What thought patterns do you gravitate towards? What orientation do you have towards life? And they utilize that information to help you find the best course of action in whatever circumstance you may be bringing up at the time. So if it comes to career, they're like, well, you seem to be really happy when you're doing things that help people and you're doing a job that doesn't allow you to interact with people. And they may suggest, because of that connection that they're making, that maybe a job in social work or counseling or whatever the heck that you want to do that's people oriented may bring a better life satisfaction. Again, a therapist is not going to tell you what to do. They're just going to help make connections that'll most likely guarantee you higher life satisfaction. And I think that's why personal development looks a little bit differently. Now, again, they probably advise, because I know a lot of counselors are, you know, take classes on career counseling and stuff like that. So they may have even more information to offer. I just noticed from my own personal experience and from what I've heard, there's a much deeper personal aspect to the way that they approach personal development. It's like, who are you? And we're going to try to get to the source of that so that whoever you are is able to thrive in these environments.
Yeah, I think that I also want to drop in here that we, earlier in our season, we did an episode with Pastor Brandon Watts from Epiphany Brooklyn. Shout out to Epiphany. About the difference between pastoral counseling and therapy. So some of this information is actually being reiterated, but I also wanted to just bring that up again because I know that because therapy is such an involved process, some may think, oh, well, do they meet my spiritual goals as well? And I would hesitate to say that because I think that the therapist is uniquely gifted and a pastor is uniquely gifted, but I'd encourage you to go back, listen to that episode. That's also in our notes as well. Okay. So you set a goal in therapy. Now you go in and you're trying to pick a therapist and you're like, bro, there's genres, there's letters up here. There's something out here called exposure. Like, is that what I need? What are the different genres of therapy? Break down the playlists. What's happening?
So one thing I wanted to highlight is that therapy also allows you to set the goal of learning how to cope with your symptoms or cope with your circumstances. So if that's a goal for you, here are some types of therapy and you can do your own research. We'll just give you like a brief synopsis of what they are. Based on my limited knowledge, so that you're able to also match with a therapist who is able to tackle those specific things in a specific way. So CBT, which is cognitive behavioral therapy, helps to uncover unhealthy thoughts and how they lead to self-destructive behaviors and beliefs. Therapists who go towards this orientation seek to work with you to deconstruct these unhealthy patterns of thinking and adopt healthier ways of thinking and believing. The big philosophy with CBT is a change in the way that you think is going to change the way that you feel and behave. Dialectic behavioral therapy, which was highly specialized for people with borderline personality disorder at first, they saw that it was very successful, but now they say that it's definitely applicable to all types of people who are seeking counseling. So DBT is similar to CBT, but it also focuses on accepting uncomfortable thoughts, feelings, and behaviors. It's helping individuals see, hey, I understand that a lot of what you're going through and a lot of what we're talking about is very uncomfortable for you. And you want to learn to accept the discomfort of those things. Like people who often gravitate towards the personality types that DBT was initially set out for struggle to accept their own inner experiences and struggle to accept that what they're feeling is hard. So they avoid. They externalize, and struggle to take responsibility for how their actions may be a part of that cycle of destructive feelings and behaviors. So again, DBT focuses on balance between acceptance and change, knowing, hey, I can't change these things about what I've gone through, so I have to accept them, but I can also change the way that I orient myself when these things come up. Another big thing for people in DBT is learning mindfulness, and that's a big thing too. Being mindful of what thoughts and feelings are coming up in whatever circumstance or situation that they're in. And because of that mindfulness, they're able to be like, all right, I'm feeling like this right now because I was triggered. And then slowly but surely learn how to find ways to cope with the discomfort that they're feeling.
Yeah. This next one sounds, I think, the most familiar to people, mostly because there's no letters. Exposure therapy. I know that the picture that I have in my head is I have a phobia of cockroaches, so I'm going to put myself in a box of cockroaches.
Oh, gosh.
Yes or no?
I mean, sure. that would be more of an example of something called flooding. So the way that exposure therapy works, this is something I'm very, very knowledgeable about, because exposure therapy is big for people who have obsessive compulsive disorder, post-traumatic stress disorder, and phobias, like you mentioned. So one aspect is flooding. So instead of avoiding, they're just going to throw you into a situation where you're having to face the very thing that you're afraid of or that triggers you. Now, that can be successful. I have reservations about it personally.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's worked for some people. Personally, I like the other method, which is slowly but surely bringing on the triggers little by little, which is called desensitization. Sorry, you threw me off. I was like, desensitization, in which they slowly but surely bring on the trigger. So if you have a phobia, of snakes, they're not going to throw you into a cage of snakes or make you come face to face with a snake. What they may do at first is maybe put an audio on of a snake hissing or show you a very, very small picture of snake skin. Yeah.
Ew.
Like, it's very, 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 very minute and little at first.
Mm-hmm.
And what your goal is to do with either of these types of orientation, so exposure therapy, is to learn what the uncomfortable feelings that you're having are, learn how to sit with them, and while you're learning to sit with them, a therapist is helping you navigate, how do I calm my physiological responses down?
Right.
Because when you're able to do that, then the uncomfortable feeling loses its power, loses its ability to paralyze you or make you feel way more intense than what the actual thing is. Now, having a healthy fear of snakes is understandable. It's probably biologically spread because some snakes are poisonous and dangerous. But they're trying to help you not be scared of every single one. Like, yes, it's a rattlesnake, back away slowly and then get away. But if it's like a harmless snake, they don't want you to have to constantly live in fear of that.
Right.
So that's what exposure therapy works to do. They're trying to help you lessen the physiological response to the stimuli that triggers you.
Before we go to psychodynamic, I wanted to ask if you're with, let's say you do have OTSD, OCD, or you have a phobia, stop laughing at me, and you are Valerie, right? And your therapist is like, all right, we're going to do exposure therapy and you're fine with that. And they want to do flooding. And that's just what they do. And you want to do desensitization. Do you have to stick with that therapist?
Absolutely not.
Oh, so you actually, like, when you meet a therapist, you could be like, oh, this doesn't work, I'm going to move on.
Yeah. I like to highlight that with therapy, even outside of, you know, what we're talking about. You want to connect with your therapist.
Right.
You want to feel comfortable. And the thing is, it's very hard to explain it. You just kind of intuitively know when you click with somebody. A good therapist is going to make you feel comfortable, make you feel safe, but also challenge you. So I don't want people to think, oh, my therapist keeps calling me out on my BS and I don't like that. It's like, no, you want them to call you out on your BS because you don't want to continue living in your BS.
Exactly.
Because it probably doesn't serve you. But do you have a hard time connecting with them? Do you have a hard time talking to them? Do you feel like every time you talk to them, it's kind of like, well, I really didn't get much out of this? You know, again, it does require you to be as attentive and aware and involved as the therapist is. So I don't want to put too much on the therapist in that regard. It's equal participation. but you do want to click.
Yeah, it seems like it depends, because in my head, I can see a situation where I go into therapy. We'll go to the next one in a second. I go into therapy, and the therapist is a great therapist, and they're wonderful, and they've done all of the years of whatever, and we just don't click. Not because that person is a bad therapist, but because of some other reason, right? So there's also, I'm jumping back up to what we were talking about before, why therapy is important, that low risk piece. So if I went to my therapist and I was like, I don't think our relationship is working anymore, it's not that kind of relationship. It's, oh, okay, I'll take you off my caseload. I'll recommend you to someone else. And right. Their feelings aren't hurt because the relationship didn't work out.
Yeah, it's not personal.
It's not a personal thing.
Still, yeah, a professional relationship that you guys have. But again, you're still emotionally and mentally involved with this individual,
right,
in some capacity. So you do want to make sure that it is a space where you feel comfortable exploring those areas. And you're going to do that much more easily with someone you click with.
Yeah,
I've done it before. I've done exposure therapy. I went to one therapist, not to be mean. I couldn't stand her. and I switched therapists, and it was a much better fit. My therapist now, I had to leave her because our insurance changed for a little bit. Not insurance. We changed locations, and I wasn't working in the city at the time where she's certified, so I couldn't go see her for a bit. And even though I had a good experience with the two therapists that I had, I didn't click with them really well. And as soon as I found out I could go back to my old therapist, I did, because we clicked so well. And granted, she knew a lot of my history, so I didn't have to go on and on about that. And I know that's a rare case, but all that to say, I love this therapeutic relationship that we had because we really click really, really well. So that is an important aspect of therapy. And again, just to highlight another modality of therapy, this one you definitely want to make sure you click with your therapist, is something called psychodynamic therapy, or psychoanalytic psychodynamic. NAMI explains it as, these type of therapists are helping you recognize negative patterns of behaviors and feelings rooted in the past to resolve them. They ask very open-ended questions like, how did that make you feel? And a lot of free association. So you're allowed to talk and just talk and talk. And the therapist is listening, and they're able to pinpoint, hey, I think this might be coming from a past situation. This might be coming from a current experience. And then from there, they're helping you parse through your thoughts and identify unconscious patterns of thinking. Like, maybe you did this because deep down inside you may be dealing with this issue, and helping you be aware of things that happen subconsciously or unconsciously and help bring it to your conscious, so that you're able to navigate it much more healthily moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
It's linked to depression, anxiety, panic, stress-related physical ailments, etc. Like, those are some things that they focus on. It's very good for trauma, I think, as well.
Yeah.
But those are some common ones that I know of that a lot of people gravitate towards. And depending on what type of therapy you want, you can do the research. Like, I'm dealing with these symptoms, what would be the best therapy? So we give you a synopsis, or you can just look, hey, is CBT good for this? Is DBT good for that? Should I do psychodynamic? And you can go from there.
Yeah, I love that. And I think the other thing to say before we kind of close out our time with our last question, our last topic thing, is that from what I can tell, therapists get lots of training. So you can correct me if I'm wrong, Valerie, because, you know, I went to music school. I'm going to get that on a t-shirt. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Because I only went to music school. Therapists can operate in multiple modalities. So
100%.
So you might, because like you said all of this, and I was like, I think Dan is CBT, but I also think he's psychodynamic. I feel like he's both. I feel like he's somewhere in the middle. He's like, some days he's doing this, and some days he's doing that, and some days it's more open-ended, and so, you know? Yeah. So we've set the goal, right? And then we got all this information from the Job Project. Follow us. From the Job Project about different types of therapy, right? So we've set a goal. We got a good therapist. Mm-hmm. The therapist is the modality that works with us. We've clicked with them.
Or several modalities. What I'm working with.
All right? Yeah. We chilling with them. We're great, right? Now, we've met our therapy goal. First of all, in order to meet a goal, you actually have to keep track of it, by the way. So before we even talk about what to do after you've met your therapy goal, like, make sure that throughout therapy, you keep track of, like, what you're doing, right? So for me, that means journaling. I journal regularly. I was going to say frequently. That's a lie. But I journal regularly, right? And I think that that's important so that I know, like, just seeing the progression of what's happened. I also think that it's important to identify the things that you've accomplished since the beginning of therapy. And for me, I think that means, like, not just in therapy, right? But I think that means, like, the big picture of the stuff that you've been doing.
Yeah, 100%. And if you need help with identifying it, because like I said, it might be harder to navigate. Did I get better at looking at my body image more healthily? Your therapist will be able to point that out because they are attuned to also tracking your goals as well. You may not feel like it because you feel like you're just talking. It is talk therapy. So sometimes it just feels like you're talking and your therapist is like, oh, wow, I see you did this. That's great. They may be able to be like, hey, at the beginning, this is where you were at. Now we're here and I'm noticing these patterns and behaviors that have changed based off of our conversations now versus back in the day. I also would definitely utilize your clinician or therapist to help you identify how your goals are or how to track your goals and see what you've accomplished thus far.
Right.
If it's hard for you to identify.
I forgot Dan told me to journal, so that's why I journal.
Yeah, no, journaling is great too. My therapist literally recommended that for me on Monday, so mm-hmm. I'm going to journal more often. I'm trying to.
When we get off of this, you're journaling. That's what's about to happen. So what I'm seeing now is once you've met your therapy goal, one, you can choose to continue therapy for ongoing support.
Right.
And you can go back to the top. You can go back to prayer. You can go back to like, all right, God, listen, this one thing, chilling. Got it. No anxiety around money anymore. Okay. And maybe the Lord is like, I'm glad you don't have anxiety around money. Now, what about your terrible relationship with your younger brother? And then he's like, that's your next goal. Or maybe God is like, okay.
Yeah.
Have infrequent therapy sessions for ongoing support. Right. Or whatever it may be. But right. I think it goes back to, this is my input. I think it does go back to, like, really thinking about where you are, the goals that you've already met, and bringing the Lord into that conversation to see what other goals may be appropriate or mm-hmm. what other things you could still work on.
This is why I think, that's why I said earlier, therapy is hard. Mm-hmm. You put in what you want to get out of it, and sometimes what you put in will lead to other things that you didn't realize you needed to put into the equation.
Exactly.
Like, maybe you're like, hey, I'm struggling with my marriage, and I'd like some help coping with some of the things that are happening. Now, granted, I think couples, especially, just as a quick disclaimer, both should go to individual therapy and you guys should see a counselor. And please don't go to counseling therapy or marriage therapy when you're at the brink of breaking up. Please go proactively if you can. But all that to say, I wanted to highlight therapy is long-term and you put out what you get out of it, because there is often the possibility that whatever goal you set may shift and change depending on what you bring up in therapy and what things come up. Like, you may think, oh, I struggle with this. Then your therapist is like, actually, I don't think you struggle with this. You actually struggle with something a lot deeper that probably comes from this and that and this and that. And I'm like, wow, I have a lot more to work on than I thought I did. And that is, I think, more of the norm than anything.
Yeah.
So I did want to highlight that you may finalize a therapy goal, but there may be other goals that end up coming up. And if you're able to, continue with the therapist. Again, it's a time for you that is completely allocated for you to explore, figure out, and learn coping skills so that you're able to live a healthier life. So I definitely would be very flexible about a firm end time. Like, I want to be done in this amount of time. Like, that may or may not happen. I love that you have goals and you want to set a timeline and you're organized. This doesn't always fit a logical, rational timeline. And to be very flexible about how your therapy goals may be accomplished, if they even stay the same. Yeah. So definitely wanted to highlight that.
I feel like we said therapy goals like 30,000 times in this episode.
Therapy goals.
Therapy goals. Therapy goals. Thank y'all for listening. Woohoo! Follow us on Instagram at The Joe Project Podcast. I think I said that at the top of the podcast too. Valerie, stop bumping the microphone.
Sorry, y'all.
Oh my, you know what? I'm so embarrassed. We gotta go.
Love y'all.
Bye.